Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. I am just beaming with joy about today's episode. I have a very special guest on today's show, and she is gracing us with her presence all the way from the Pacific coast of the United States, California. And she is, wow. I mean, I was just reading through her bio, and I'm just going to need to go through the notes here so that I don't miss the points here that all of you in my beautiful community need to know about this woman. She is a best-selling author, a ceremonialist, a healer, a life coach, a musician, an activist, and she is the founder of the Songkeeper School. This is a school for sacred singing, singing to the earth, honoring the earth, and ritual. For over 30 years, she has weaved her spiritual explorations, her studies, her knowledge, as well as the psychological fields into a very unique way of opening people's hearts, opening people's souls, helping them to access their highest potential through the art of singing. She weaves in shamanism, mantra, yoga, energy healing, sound healing, ancient wisdom practices into her work. And she is really moving mountains with her incredibly heart-centered, passionate, and beautiful work with her sacred songs to this earth. I am so honored to have Rhea Mana on this episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. Welcome, Rhea, to the show. Welcome.
Aisha, thank you so much. Gosh, it's like, you know, I feel what I feel from you is that you have this beautiful breadth of work as well. And the work comes from the heart. And I think It's that kind of recognition that it's not about, you know, the resume, but it's about, you know, what our relationship is with our heart and then what spirit is moving through each of our individual hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. We are vessels, aren't we? Vessels transmitting a very sacred impulse, a very sacred and creative impulse that is rising from the earth right now, rising through our great mother, rising through her union with the cosmos and the angelic realms. And oh boy, my community is going to be just like, so lit up like myself to hear more about what you are creating in the world through your voice and through empowering others to activate and open up their own sacred voices to commune with the land, commune with Mother Earth. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And I wanted to just also share, I love that you said that it's not so important, like, the resumes aside, there's something bigger here that we are transmitting and expressing. And when you said that, I had a vision of, me needing to go through such an undoing with all of the various titles attached to my name that I had accumulated over the years as a practicing architect. And not that they're all bad, but they had a certain kind of grip on me, and I had a lot of pressure, put a lot of pressure on myself to upkeep certain, you know, degrees, certifications. Like, so I just pictured all these, like, you know, letters that we put next to our names, and it's like, bah, we're moving into a whole new paradigm right now where I feel we don't need to be hanging on to these titles as much, rather stepping into being these pure vessels to allow the sacred song of Mother Earth and the cosmos to sing through us.
Yes, you're speaking my language.
Yeah. So, Rhea, everyone, you know, typically I invite architects who are bridging spirit with form. I do also invite people who are involved in creating sanctuaries through a new organic nature-based approach to architecture, and as well as some artists. One of my collaborators, metaphysical artist, I've had her on the show several times, along with people who are working with land energetics, working with dowsing, working with geomancy, right? And teaching my community, sharing their knowledge about how to work with the spirit of the land, how to tap the energetics of place, from power spots to water lines to all kinds of geomantic phenomenon, and learning about the subtle realms that we can encounter on people's properties. When I encountered your work, Rhea, I was just jumping for joy, and I just felt like, wow, she is really bringing a force that is very much in touch, in tune, tapped into the divine feminine. And I just felt such a connection with my work, the sacred blueprint work, the work that you're doing with groups to sing to the land. And I know that so much is unfolding through this process. So it's all connected. It's all connected. And I'm so excited for my community to hear more about your story. How did you start singing to the land? How did you begin the Songkeeper School? What's your story? What's your journey?
Aisha, thank you for sharing that. And I also feel so excited to connect with you, because here I've been singing to the land and building relationship with the spirit of place and teaching people how to empower the land to return to its own mastery as these master beings. And so it's beautiful to see the different ways that many of us are called to do that. Yeah. And it's kind of been a little evolving, whispering process. Mm. And I'd say it first started in 2013, where I began sun gazing. I would wake up before dawn, stand barefoot on the earth, and I would breathe the energy of the sun through my body down into the earth. And then I would send blessings to our Mother Earth. And I had committed myself to do it for like 40 days. After about 10 days, the earth started speaking back. She showed me that all wisdom from all time is contained in the energetic field of the earth and in our energetic field. And we open the conversation with honoring, with blessing, with giving, with tuning in. We don't realize that we live inside this field of responsiveness that's always available, always communicating with us. So that led to a series of 5 years of me having these messages and downloads. And then I ended up writing a book called The Awakening World, The Return of the Divine Feminine. Wow. And, you know, went through life and, you know, made music and learned and taught and sang. And then when COVID hit in 2020, I was living in Topanga and everything is shut down. So I had no outer outlets for singing or teaching or connecting with others. And I would sit outside each day and I would do my singing, chanting, meditation practice. And I'm singing for this beautiful array of mountains. Well, I started to realize how much they loved it, started to remember, oh, right, there is this reciprocal relationship that we have with the natural world. Remembered all these things. I somehow forgot my love of sacred mountains and gazpacho ceremonies, that is a kind of ceremony of offerings that they do in the Andes Mountains of Peru. And I just was opened to going on this deep dive of learning about ley lines and power spots and geomagnetic hotspots. And I found Freddy Silva, who's a researcher, and ended up going to a workshop with him in Sedona. And in an in-person workshop, right when COVID started, so it was wonderful. And the workshop taught us about ley lines and power spots and different energy centers in the earth. And I was really intrigued. Well, how can we use our voice to connect in with those places? And so again, life continued, but I started to get this calling to stop what I was doing and go and sing to sacred mountains. I resisted. Because it didn't make much sense. You know, it's one thing if you're going to be an architect, it's clear. It's like, okay, well, there's a pathway. People are architects. You know, for me, I'm like, I'm going to go to sing to sacred mountains. Like, how am I going to survive? How am I going to make a living? So after a few months of feeling this intense pull, I quit my job. And right away, I was invited to lead a women's retreat in the Ko'olau Mountains of Oahu, Hawaii, then a private retreat in the Grand Tetons, and then to Sedona, and then the Chiricahua Mountains of Eastern Arizona. And I sang to the land, and the land showed me that it is alive and it needs us to sing to it. The land is a memory keeper, it's a living library. And we tap into that source of all wisdom. And it's a source that is true and stable, not like the Library of Alexandria, where they can burn the books. You know, even now we're in this digital age where so much of the wisdom is being changed or altered to a current paradigm. The earth contains the truth, and we open up to that relationship with the truth. And in doing so, we open our own capacity for discernment. Of recognizing what truth feels like, of recognizing what health feels like. And so that we're in this very alive relationship with the earth. And so as I was singing to the earth, she's showing me all these different aspects of building relationship, which I was writing down and which turned into the program I now offer called the Songkeeper School. And, you know, it's how to sing to connect in with the elementals, how to sing for ancestral healing, how to sing for the emotional and trauma release of the body, how to, and most importantly and overarchingly, build that relationship with the unseen world, with the spirit of place, and recognition that everything we experience is an outcropping of that spirit of place. And so many of the things that we're dealing with, the issues we're dealing with, the challenges, they're not ours alone. They're aspects of the spirit of place. So part of our singing work is expanding our identity to recognize we're more than just individual units. We're part of this totality. And then we sing to that to bring grace, to bring love, to bring flow and movement. And the last thing I'll say is when we open ourselves and offer ourselves as a conduit of divine source, offering ourselves over in service to something greater than ourselves, it begins to make right things in our own lives, things in our ancestry. It's just such a healing balm for connection and peace.
Wow. I'm just getting shivers, shivers, shivers all around. Wow, Rhea, thank you for this powerful work. And there's so much that I want to reflect back. You started talking about this responsive field that is actually a living being, the being of nature. and that you're co-creating, communicating with this responsive field, with the land, through this singing. And then you taking it to the next level where, you know, comparing it to the Library of Alexandria, where the books can be burned, or this information, the mass digital, you know, massive network that we are surrounded by, and especially now with the advancements in AI, you know, people are able to take what people say, distort it. They can take a video of someone, or AI can take a video of someone and actually replicate them speaking, but it's not them. It's not authentic. It's not authentic. Actually, I'm thinking about Ke Oni in Hawaii. He's a beautiful soul who's speaking, and he talks about authenticity. Anyway, so going back to this truth that we have the capacity to access, that is so profound. And that's something that I've discovered as I've been developing the sacred blueprint, Rhea, that the truth of the blueprint comes through when we commune with Mother Earth, when we invite your spirits to the design table, invite the spirit of the land to the design table. It's absolutely profound. And so when you're leading these groups, you know, what, how do you feel the response coming from the spirit of the land? What, how do you know? How do you receive the guidance? Do you take the time to with the groups to actually listen to how the land is communicating back to you? And do you receive like specific steps, instructions? Is there healing processes that occur when you are out on the land doing this incredible work?
Thank you for your reflection. And as you're speaking, I have so many chills. And gosh, it's, you know, the process of connecting in with this field of responsiveness is simple. It is having a love relationship with it. Hmm. It's finding that space of devotion in our hearts and singing our love into the land. When we sing our love into the land, we sing for the empowerment of that spirit of place. We sing for the original stainless purity to reemerge, in recognition that the ground beneath our feet is holy and sacred. And you know, just to share a dream I had had once, I was in Hawaii and I was looking at this sacred land from the other side of the wall. It was like this beautiful temple complex, and I was feeling how amazing it was, and I just wanted to be there. And Spirit said, "You don't need to be there because you make the ground beneath your feet sacred."
Wow. Whew.
So when we go with love, when we go with this intention for, you know, just like for a person, you know, if someone believes in you and they want to do what they can to encourage you to share your gifts, they trust in your own divine intelligence that they can enhance you, support you, nourish you, love you up, and your own divine intelligence is going to kick in. And so that's the way that we approach the land, is that we love it up for starters. So then it's not about like, am I getting the right download or am I doing the right thing? We go with giving first. And you know, when we're born into this world, our first gift is our breath. We're given the breath of life. And so we can give that breath. We can give our song. We can offer our energy first. And so we always want to give before we receive. And sometimes the process is you can be years in the giving in order to start to hone in that channel of discernment, which, you know, most of our lives we've been taught to listen to external sources of authority. We've lived in a world with a lot of cognitive distortion where the messages we're given are different from the truth that exists. So a part of this process is allowing our bodies to heal, allowing our nervous system to regulate, to coming into this deep relationship with our own inner knowing and feeling what it feels like to be inside the field of responsiveness versus in our ego, in our mind, in our old story, in our pain. So before we get to any sense of action, we're opening to just the giving. And then the action happens. I mean, always when I lead these groups, it's somebody randomly shows up and leads us to some place. And we ended up like in our, I do a retreat each year in Mount Shasta. And last year I had booked this Airbnb, which is on this Mineral Springs Creek. And wow. It's this mineral springs that has masculine and feminine water coming out of the ground. There's only a couple places on earth that have this. Glastonbury is one. The masculine energy is infused with iron. The masculine water is infused with iron. The feminine water is infused with silica, with crystal. Yeah. So this water comes up out of the ground and goes down this mineral creek. As I'm driving to the place, we pass this other retreat center that I know my friend stewards. So I reach out to her. She happens to be there. I know her from this water group that I'm part of with the Emoto Peace Project. Dr. Masuro Emoto, yeah. He's since passed, but his lineage holder, Michiko Hayashi, she continues to do this work with water and waters of the world. So I knew this woman from our water group, and she comes by, tells us that this water that we're at, Dr. Masuro Emoto had visited, and it's very sacred to him. And all these stories, and then we bump into somebody else up on the mountain, and then the last day we got invited to a private headwaters, also where Dr. Masuro Emoto had been blessing the water. And I was just intuitively guided to sing this Japanese water song. And then we were invited by Michiko to share some of the work with her event for World Water Day in Japan. And when she heard we were singing this Japanese water song, she just cried, never knowing that I had learned it years before. And it's a very special song that they use every time that they go and they do water blessings. So just as a little snapshot, it's give to the land, and then the language is spoken in synchronicities and people who show up and opportunities and situations, and you feel so enlivened.
Wow. It feels like also like a treasure hunt. Things are unraveling, like, oh, and this and that. It's very similar to what I've experienced with my clients on the properties and lands that I've helped them with and the projects that we're working on. It's incredible the synchronicities that start to unfold when you open. I love how you say love it up. We love up the land, right? When you make the honorings, the you do the gratitude ceremonies and just love up the land. It's just incredible. The blueprints come through and the roadmaps, it sounds like the roadmaps for you come through and you're guided to do what's next, right? And yeah, it's absolutely profound. And this awareness of water and going to the sacred waters and the masculine water and the feminine water. The waters have been very much speaking to me in the work that I do with people's properties. And so much is about the story of water, whether it's toxic water, forgotten water. Rhea, we've got just behind our house on the main street, a canal that's just been straightened out, and you can feel and see that the water cannot do her dance like she normally does when she's been straightened out. I mean, this is a perfect example of how engineering is not like conventional engineering is actually destroying the life force of water. Water wants to meander, right? She wants to move. She's about movement. She's feminine, right? She wants to express herself in that way. So very much the story of water, the work that I do leading women architects as well as visionary leaders and land stewards to the ancient city of Ephesus. It's one of the biggest power places in the world. And I guide them to the Temple of Artemis. She's not much is left over there except massive, massive ripples of energy flowing out from that temple. It is an incredibly magical place, powerful place, huge creative life force emanating from there. And it was one of the biggest mystery schools, one of the most important mystery schools in the world. And actually, this is bridging to our next topic that I want to hear or learn more about from you is the topic of the larynx. And there's something about the primal waters, Rhea, combined with the specific signature energy of that temple that very much activate the larynx in the women there that I take there. And there's something about creation and really activating your true expression, creative expression, that's linked to the larynx. And it's incredible. And I'm just now starting to piece the next levels, the next layers of the sacred blueprint related to the larynx. And I was going to do my own podcast episode regarding this topic. And then when I discovered your work, I'm like, oh, no. We've got to invite Rhea onto the show to talk about it. So, I mean, there's so many doorways and portals opening in this conversation that I want to head down. I mean, the whole topic about nature spirits, the sacred mountains, I'd love to hear about your perspective about the larynx and before we do, I want to share something from Rudolf Steiner that I have been studying for a long time. I've been studying anthroposophy for a long time. I discovered his work in university through one of my dear friends. And Rudolf Steiner influenced my approach to architecture. And I've been deep in the studies of esoteric wisdom through the anthroposophic movement and reading his lectures on architecture. For those of you who are watching the YouTube, you can see the book up right now. It's Architecture as a Synthesis of the Arts. And I want to read an excerpt here that I feel Rhea is really going to be able to dive into. Just let me turn my light on here to be able to read. It's dark here in Turkey. Here we go. All right. Art and architecture as a larynx of the gods. However much study may be devoted to the elimination of crime and wrongdoing in the world, true redemption, the turning of evil into good, will in future depend upon whether true art and architecture are able to generate a definite cultural atmosphere. An atmosphere that can so fill the hearts and souls of human beings, if they allow this atmosphere to influence them, that liars will cease to lie and disturbers of the peace will cease to disturb the peace of their fellow citizens. Buildings will begin to speak. They will speak a language of which people today have as yet no inkling. And then he goes on to saying, so how do human beings speak? They speak through a larynx, right? Human beings would not be able to speak without or speak to us without a larynx. What the gods of nature have given us in our larynx, we can pass on to the whole world when we find appropriate artistic forms. And through these forms, the gods will speak to us. And so he goes on to saying, I mean, Steiner is never a one-liner guy. I mean, you've got to keep reading and reading and reading and reading to go really deep. But basically what he's talking about is that art and architecture, when we're really tapped into the impulse of creation that is moving through humanity and tapping the fresh energy, actually, not replicating or copying the old architecture, but really listening to the impulse that wants to be birthed now through us now and for the future. He sees that buildings are actually become larynxes for the gods to speak through to humankind and to this earth. And so with this theme here, the larynx, I'd love for you to share the mystery of the larynx, Rhea. What's the mystery of the larynx?
Wow. How exciting that we even get to have this conversation.
I know.
And I love that the segue was through water and this that exists in the temple of Artemis, which is activating the women you bring there to speak. And it's that water with its motion, with its aliveness, has such a high vibration. There's a documentary I had watched about water on Gaia TV, and they've researched certain properties of water in different places all over the world. And there is this mountaintop in Colombia, and I don't remember the measure, the unit of measure, but it was just this mountaintop in Colombia. It was such a high number of this property. And once you get to tap water, it's like negative. And so the idea is that when you're imbued in an atmosphere, a high vibrational atmosphere, your body knows what to do. Your health takes over, your self-healing mechanism gets activated. And so as I'm listening, so I'm just loving that water was the segue, because water also, it clears.
I didn't plan that.
It removes that which isn't us, so that we can access our divine capacities. Wow. And, you know, we're in this age where there's been so much programming and so much conditioning. And, you know, we are coming out of an educational system that was started at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, based on the Prussian system of education, which taught us how to be factory workers, which showed us how to, you know, stay in line and do what we're told. So, you know, even to enter into this conversation, there's a purification process that we are invited into, that's available for us now, that we're seeing in our world around us. And as we begin to purify, we have access to these higher faculties. You know, also we hear stories about the fall of man in Judaism, where, you know, man lost its divinity. And that man was mankind. Adam Kadmon was the divine being. And that at the time of the fall of man, it was as though we were a strand of pearls that broke and were cast across the universe. Yeah. So the great work of so many spiritual and religious teachings in its essence is this work of unifying us all once again. Yeah. And in that fall, then there's been a breaking between, or a sense of breaking, or an implant of breaking, having broken the upper world from the lower world, from upper world creation, from the waters of the heavens separated from the waters of the earth. And we can see that metaphorically represented within our own bodies, that have the lower waters and the upper waters, the lower waters being our sexual waters, our reproductive waters, the higher waters being that of our nervous system, our synovial fluid, our brain waters. And we can bridge those waters again through the heart. It's as though we're this one clear channel of above and below. And in the fall of man, those two have broken and we don't have access to the connection once again or any longer. But right. The connection can be bridged through the love of our hearts. Then we have the higher world connection uniting with the lower world connection. So there's so much metaphor and symbology in this topic. And the beauty about symbols is you can tune in with the symbols, you can meditate on the symbols, and you can begin to have revealed to you what the message is that's right for where your consciousness is at this time.
Wow.
So, you know, symbolically, what represents the lower waters is Mem, the Hebrew letter Mem. And the upper world would be the fire of the Holy Spirit, Shin. These are different Hebrew letters.
Yeah.
When you can unite the Mem and the Shin and the heart, the fire and the water, the masculine and the feminine, then it ignites this divine property, which is this pattern of redemption that lives within us, that restores us to our oneness, our full gnosis with our divine nature. And so that Christos or Yehoshua, Jesus is the Greek name for for Yeshua, but Kabbalistically it's Yehoshua. And breaking that down, the name of God in Hebrew is Yod Heh Vav Heh, four Hebrew letters. And those letters are said to be written on our spine. Yod Heh Vav Heh. We have within us this divine blueprint. When you have the descent of Shin, of the Holy Spirit, moving into implanting itself in that column of Yod Heh Vav Heh, you plant it at the heart, you get Yod Heh Shin Vav Heh. Yehoshua, Yehovah turns to Yehoshua. So, you know, we worship this person. There's religions based on this person, but it's such deep symbology of our divine nature. And then how does the voice sit in? Well, there's a schema of the Kabbalistic tree of life. And in that Kabbalistic tree of life, there's different planetary spheres that can be overlaid the human body. And one of those spheres is overlaid the throat. And it's different from the other spheres. The other spheres are clearly a sphere. They're named, they're positioned, they have channels that run between them. But this is a hidden sphere. The sphere of the throat, it's called Da'at and spelled Dalet, Ayin Tav in Hebrew. And it's the door, it's the stamp, but it's also hidden. It can only be activated once we activate our divine human blueprint once again.
Wow.
Then our throat becomes the seat of higher world creation, where higher ideals can be spoken into the world through the power of the word. So we've come from a time where we had the power of the word, the ability to speak reality into creation. And truly, we still have that ability. But yet that ability is marked by our alignment with our integrity. Do we do what we say? Are our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, intentions, are they all aligned? Or are we on the one hand saying we want a peaceful world, but then in the background running these negative stories about ourselves and others?
So
it's about to access the fullness of this gateway of higher world creation. We need to come back to the embodiment of our divine nature.
Wow. Yeah, it's so profound. As you were sharing, I'm also seeing parallels between the story of Osiris, Isis and Osiris, and Osiris lost all of his, well, rather he was dismembered by Set, and Isis needed to bring all of his body parts back together again to resurrect. So you talk about the fall, right, of man, of Adam, we would say in Turkish, right? And bringing back all the pieces, and that what you were talking about, the different letters and names inscribed into the spine, or that they're like almost like keys, right? And as you were saying that, Rhea, I could hear tones, each and every one of them having a different tone. And once they're all played in the correct way, then that hidden doorway also starts to get activated, the larynx, this mystery of the larynx. Wow, it's so interesting that in the Kabbalah tradition, it's hidden. Mm-hmm. The other thing I want to share about that too is that in my studies of Rudolf Steiner's cosmology, and I mean, it's not really his, he was just deeply tapped into the high, you know, the mysteries that actually wove through many different mystery teachings. But he talks about actually how once we enter a different epoch, it may be on Jupiter. He calls it New Jupiter, which is actually New Earth. It may also be later. I don't want to get this wrong because it's so detailed, but he talks about how actually the next stage of evolution for the human being, and this is, by the way, gazillions of years, gazillions, we won't even look the way that we look. It's actually when masculine and feminine are totally united, we're actually going to be self-propagating beings through the word, through the larynx. So we will be literally speaking. And he talks even about in the lecture, he talks about a green spittle that will come through our mouths. And this is getting very esoteric, but you know, everyone knows in my community, I go deep. So if you're here, you're esoteric nerds like we are. but you know, coming back to what that means for our creativity, tapping our intuition. And I love what you shared about the fact that we have the codes for our own healing within us. And so when this is activated, when these waters, the lower waters with the higher waters, and they're merged at the heart, wow, then there's just so much possible, right? Through that union. Yeah, anything else that you want to share about?
And I mean, what a reframe of life to know that this is possible, that, you know, even that this wisdom exists. You know, so many of us have been conditioned to think, well, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up? And then you want to do something that contributes to in some way to the world in a positive way. Well, to recognize that our life, we are in a living mystery school, that every condition of our body, mind, spirit is helping us to hone certain gifts, abilities that we will then take with us in subsequent lifetimes. And, you know, it's one thing to get into the mystery and in the deep esoteric wisdom of it all. And it's another thing too, like, well, you know, how does that relate to us here and now?
Yeah.
And what I find is that when we sing with love, there's not this, like, that is the perfect recipe. You know, they say if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. And just this awareness that, like, when we do it in unity, when we come in love, when we approach these spirits of place with curiosity, with invitation, that there's an essence that we are imbued with. Yeah. And it's the essence that is the magic balm. You know, they'll say in different spiritual traditions why it's a blessing to have a spiritual teacher. Mm-hmm. Like the spiritual teacher, is like the key that unlocks the door. Like, you can be reading these scriptures for your whole life, but then you have an awakened master who, it's like that key that unlocks the door. Right. And without it, you know, they're just words on a page. It's just scaffolding around the building. So what we're going for here is the opening of the inner world. And it's said that the doorway to the inner world is gained through the heart. Even in the Carib tradition from the Andes Mountains of Peru, they have this concept, Munaiki, which is this heart connection and access the spiritual worlds through the heart. And it's not something that you can go after. You can go after the invitation, like to petition to have your heart opened or access to the unseen world be open, but you can't open the gate. It has to be gifted to you. Mm-hmm. So this access to the unseen world is gifted through a humble heart. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think where some aspects of our world have gone wrong is in the seeking of power, in the seeking mm-hmm. of resource, in the seeking of knowledge or objects in order to get something else. And the thing that you spoke of when we first got on the call is, it's like the wisdom is coming through the ethers and coming through the ethers to be caught by those with a humble heart. And it's through love that the transmission is correct. And so now largely inside this field of distortion, where no wonder our youth and our young people are having so much difficulty.
Oh my God, anxiety and
The anxiety, the gender confusion. I mean, I think it's due to many factors, including, you know, hormones and the food and vaccines and but also to a large extent that our youth aren't surrounded by these images of truth, by these representations of truth. So, you know, going back to what you were sharing about art and architecture, when we bring forth something that is sourced from higher world relationship, when we bring forth something that's sourced in love, when someone stands in the presence of that, it's the transmission of divinity that informs our very cells of how to embody that divine essence.
Oh my God, I'm just seeing so many incredible buildings and spaces form as you speak. It's amazing. This, what's possible for the new earth? What's possible for architecture and design and art and being, sacred being, when we incorporate, when we integrate these sacred practices? I mean, I think about my Indigenous brothers and sisters in Canada. I grew up in Toronto, and, you know, it's just not a question. It was part of their way of walking, and still is. Of course, thank God, you know, the youth, the new generation, they're bringing it back in their own contemporary way. But how to honor the land and consult the land when, you know, a decision needs to be made, and taking that seriously, right? And, you know, all of that has been completely omitted from the building code.
Oh yeah.
It's been omitted from our education, right? It's been omitted from, I mean, we could just keep on going, right? Keep
from
on
our
going.
Relationships. I'm from thinking our mental health, from our economy.
From hospitals, right? I don't even want to use hospitals. In the Ottoman tradition, we had water, actually music and water, sound and water was being used at these beautiful healing centers that were stunning stone buildings with beautiful courtyards and gardens. I mean, they knew what they were doing because God was speaking through them, right? Allah was speaking through them. And yeah, wow. Oh my God. We're going to need to do a part two, Rhea. It's just, there's so much possible. I'm so excited to share for the listeners. Rhea's going to sing us a song. Rhea's going to sing us a song, and she's going to share more about the Song Keeper School. I want to also share some of the images of you out on the land with your groups singing to the land after you sing your song. But I want to ask you one final question. I'm so excited, Rhea. I just opened the doors for a certification program for women architects, the Sacred Blueprint Certification Program. And I see them also learning from you and learning how opening up their voice, singing to the earth, is like such a crucial step in learning how to connect with the spirit of place. I see it. I see it. And right now there are a lot of women on the edge. They're scared. They're feeling their bodies, feeling the feels, anxiety attacks, panic attacks. You know, there's a lot of women that are within my community that are just, they're on the edge, and they are really hesitating to take this next bold leap, really to fully come out of hiding, to unleash their feminine magic and their intuitive powers. What advice would you have for them before?
Wow. Thank you for that question. Well, one is, you know, what is the cost for not doing it? You know, we've lived in this world that has been very devoid of the feminine essence. We've built a masculine world, resourced and extracted from the natural resources that are surrounding us, and created a table of men where the women aren't even invited, where the mothers aren't honored. So what is the cost of not putting our voice back in? I mean, we are at such a crucial time where it's like, what is this future trajectory that we're on right now if the powers that have been controlling the system continue to see their way unfold? That what I'm seeing is that it is this wisdom of the women, this wisdom of the feminine that wants to speak through. And with that, with our connection, with our intuition, with our love, with our motherly instincts, and that building relationship then once again with the earth, we can mitigate natural disasters. We can mitigate challenge in our community. It's that we're living in a world that is the form created, or the structure created out of the essence of a greater form. And what's happened is now it's been the form, the truth has been completely separated out from this hollow shell of what we're fed, a hollow shell of our existence, a hollow shell of our world, a hollow shell that's holding our children. No wonder our children are struggling. And we're being called to join our voices once again, to join our hearts. They say that there's nothing more powerful in this world than the love a mother has for her child. The love that each woman holds for her children, the power that we have to come together with and bring that love into the world, to bring our prayers, to bring our voices, to bring our art into a space that holds representations for that love. We need these representations of love to be greater than those representations of fear. And one other thing I'll say about this love of the Divine Mother, I had a series of visions around December 21st, 2012. That was said to be the end of this 26,000 year cycle in the Mayan calendar. And I was in Sweden doing 3 days of ceremony. And the first night I was, you know, in meditation, I'm in this vision, and I hear all these whispers, "She's coming, she's coming. No one even knows she's coming." And so I'm like, "Who's coming?" Like, they're like, "Everyone's been waiting for the second coming of Christ, but no one even knows she's coming. No one even knows she's been gone. The memory of her has been so forgotten." And then in the second night, I saw her feet coming down. And again, these whispers, "She's coming, she's coming." And then by the third night, I saw her descending onto the earth. And I saw that she was Sophia, the mother of Gaia. She is the mother of us all. And that she is here, that there's this energy of the feminine divine that has returned, that is being restored into our myths, into our bones, into our memory. And as women, when we know that it's not only Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's not only this patriarchal representation of what divinity is, but it's a Father who loves us. It's a Mother who loves us. And they're holding space for a world in right relation. So when we step in as women holding that archetype of the feminine divine, the beauty, the peace that comes over our land is exquisite. And when we really truly tend to our body temple in this sacred way, we become the well. We become the vessel for the living waters of Christ to dwell within us, for the living waters of creation to pour over this world, transforming it from the inside out, so that all the illusion becomes irrelevant.
Oh my God. Wow. You are such an exquisite, beautiful vessel for God and for the divine Sophia. Wow, Rhea. Thank you so much. Women, if this isn't enough of a kick in the butt for you, I don't know what is. Can you imagine listening to the frequency, the power, the creative life force that is emanating, surging from Rhea's larynx as she speaks? Can you see the buildings that you can build? Can you see the cities that you can create? Can you see the communities that you can give birth to, quite literally, as oracles for the new earth architecture? This is it. This is it. This is our next level.
And we've been conditioned to think there's no value in this. There's no value in our intuition. There's no value in our heart.
Your imagination. Right? It's airy fairy. So airy fairy.
Exactly. But this is the currency of the new earth. You know, we're living inside of a world that has learned how to extract resource from the spirit world without any payment. You know, native traditions, original people understood you had to make offerings to the land before you took anything. Yeah. And I've heard a story that in Mayan or Incan times, they had the understanding of how to build complicated weapons, but they knew the cost in offerings to the spirit world, and they chose not to do it because the cost would be so great. So wow. Here we are living at the effect of forgetting about the offerings and extracting. And now, of course, we see the deficit. We see the deficit in our economy. We see the deficit in our morals and our ethics and our mental health.
Yeah.
So as we begin to return right relation with the spirit world, with this unseen vitality, with, you know, I woke up the other morning, I was on my moon, and I woke up with, oh, shaman, they walk between worlds. And I was like, oh, women walk between worlds. Every time we bleed, we get pulled into that world that we are not versed in how to navigate. And so what I hear in your invitation, Aisha, is this invitation for women to come into that natural relationship that we have with the unseen, to trust ourselves, to know that there's a way forward there. There's income there. Survival, but thriving there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are so many thirsty people in the world who are now committed to building sovereign communities and taking their kids out of school. Not that that's actually always the best solution. I'm not a kind of black and white kind of person. I'm always someone who really honors the middle way, but an example, right, of people, communities, families who are wanting to build the new earth. And yeah, there is plenty of abundance once you cross the threshold. Yeah. Thank you, Rhea, for this invitation. All right. Rhea, we're ready. We're ready to hear you sing. And after you sing, I want to hear more about the Songkeeper School, how people can get in touch with you. And I'll share some of those images for those of you who are watching the YouTube. In any case, I think you need to listen to this episode twice, because I'm just buzzing from all that's being transmitted in today's interview. Wow. All right. You ready?
Yes. And I just want to add that transmission is what we're going for. You know, so many people, they create, they speak, they live just out of rote, out of copying, replicating. But what we're building with our relationship with our voice, with song, with the song keepers, is this relationship with the transmission field, where we have purified, cleansed, offered ourselves over so that spirit can speak through us. And then that transmission reminds everyone that we each have that. We're all different aspects of the same body. And when we speak from that space, we can only do good. We can only help each other. We can only bring love. There's only health in our world. Oh yeah, I wanted to.
Oh, right. There was a setting that.
Setting. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. So this is a song you can sing along if you like. And it's just open, open, open your heart to me. And when I sing this song, I like to sing it as though the Great Mother is singing to me. The idea is that we are inviting in this relationship with the unseen world, something beyond what we know with our mind, with our emotions, with our past conditioning. So if you want to take a deep breath, you can close your eyes, you can come into your heart. We're being called for something so much greater.
Oh, wow, Rhea. Thank you so much for that beautiful song. Wow.
Thank you,
Thank
Aida.
you, thank you, thank you. You're such a gift to this earth.
Oh,
Thank you.
thank you.
So everyone, if you want to hear more of this beautiful music, Rhea has a YouTube channel. We're going to be sharing all her links in the captions and description section below in YouTube, as well as this podcast audio episode. Tell us about the Songkeeper School and any other programs that you want to share with my community today.
Thank you, Aisha. Well, the Songkeeper School is a school of sacred singing, earth honoring, and ritual. And we sing to the land and we build that relationship with the earth once again. And when we have that relationship with the earth, with the elementals, they respond to us. And it's said that any healing, any true healing, comes from the divine. That our ultimate is, you know, if you're an architect, to pull forward a divine inspiration, a creation of divine inspiration. And so true healing comes from the divine working through us. And so when we're singing in the Songkeeper School, we're building that relationship with the divine so that the divine can sing through us, so that that field of responsiveness hears and listens. And we're at some crazy times right now. And the wild card is us, each of us. When we join together with one heart, when we join together with our voices, with our love, then we can impact the weather systems. We can impact the ecosystem. We can infuse grace into the spirit of place. They say that when we honor the earth knows footsteps. And if there is to be a time of challenge or trouble, that the earth will make sure we're moved out of harm's way before that trouble comes. And so, in particular, we're starting a new segment of the Songkeeper School on March 31st, specifically geared towards singing to the lands of Europe and the Middle East. Speaking of the ley lines, singing to these places, these spirits of place, which are holding story, which are holding memory of places like you mentioned, Aisha, the Temple of Artemis, places that hold a divine blueprint that we can sing to expand that into the collective consciousness, and also singing to the holiness of all the ground beneath this land to remind it of who it is, so that the truth becomes more predominant, becomes louder than the false narratives that have been layered upon layered over the holiness and purity of those sacred places. So we begin March 31st. We go for 8 weeks. This is a picture of the last picture was a place in Mount Shasta where there's this spring that comes out of the ground, and we were there singing to the sacred waters. And so beautiful, just beautiful spring. And
Wow, it's an
when
amazing place.
it's in this a place called Panther Meadows, and it's
Wow.
sacred to the original people. And they say that this is where the ancient ones walk. So we
Wow.
go and we sing to this land. And the last time we were there, the whole field was filled with dragonflies, and it felt like the
Wow.
communing with us. And so we're going to sing to the lands of Europe and to the Middle East, our intention being to bring peace, harmony, the restoration of the original stainless purity, to work with the ley lines, to open up that flow through the network, through the planetary grid, so that the communication, the right relation, communication can flow once again through the lands and that
Wow.
their ecosystems. I know there's been some extreme weather over the last
Yeah.
couple of summers. And so the idea is that we can sing to these elementals, we can sing for balance, we can sing for the safety of the people. And you know, they say that these times we're in are like this collective, like great purge. And so let us purge and purify our own hearts through love, so that we don't have to go through a massive, challenge that can be mitigated through grace. So we offer the love of our hearts infused through our voices for the lands of Europe and the Middle East. We start that on March 31st. You know, from wherever you are in the world, please join us. Obviously, this is a hot spot of activity that's there right now. And, we want to lend our voices, our energy to our brothers and sisters in those regions, but also recognizing many of us, our ancestors come from those regions.
Absolutely.
Many of much of the suffering we hold is from ancestral lines. So this will be a deep opportunity to sing for the healing, for the balance of our ancestral lines, for communication with all of our relations.
Wow. Wow. And can you repeat once again, when? I'm just going to stop sharing here for when are, so where is the school actually going to take place?
Online. So anyone can join.
Online. Perfect. So anyone from the world can join.
Yes.
Fantastic. And it's starting again?
March 31st.
March 31st. Amazing. Wow.
We'll also learn songs for the water, build relationship with the elementals, with the sun, with the breath, work with ancestral healing.
And I love it. Yeah. Wow. I think this would just be such an amazing, if any of you who are listening are especially, land stewards, people who are wanting to birth their own sanctuary, I think this would be an incredible opening for not only your communication with Mother Earth, really with the land, but also an opening for your own creative capacities. For your own creative capacities and absolutely, the visions that I'm sure are coming through this powerful group work. And just, you shared all these dragonflies showed up right around the sacred well and water springs, on that holy land.
Oh, and it's rained. There's rainbows that have come. Right. I mean, it's amazing how the elementals respond. And yes, it does really open up that flow for your own creativity. I mean, people end up writing songs. It's an opening for our channels. Our body is the instrument and our voice just happens to be the where the sound comes out. But so when we work with this technology, we're also working with the energy meridians of the body. We're removing, or we're creating the conditions for the blocks, the stagnations to be dissolved, for us to come into that deep devotional relationship with ourselves. It informs all the work we do as we create greater resonance and coherence with ourselves and with the spirit of place.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Everyone, check out Rhea's website. You'll be able to access the Songkeeper School link through there, but we're also going to share the link directly in the captions below. But her website is Rhea Mana with two N's, rheamana.com. Anything else, Rhea, before we close today?
For this cohort, we've made it very, very reasonably priced. So if people feel called, this is an offering of love to our Mother Earth. So the idea is that we're contributing to creating a light action to impact the course of events that are transpiring right now.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank you so much for opening this school, Rhea. And I'm just so excited to watch and also participate in this beautiful co-creation with the land that you've opened up. Thank you so much for your time today. Wow, wow, wow. Let's build the new earth through singing.
Singing through
the power of the divine feminine, through our larynxes.
Yes, and the men need us.
Absolutely.
They have been the predominant recipients of the programming of the field of distortion. And so as we come back into right relation, the healing that happens for the men in our world. I mean, for ourselves, but for all of us, it's,
absolutely.
You say, well, people could be afraid of, I'm not sure if I should do it, but everything, we can impact so much. You know, the love of the mother is the foundational, she's the hearth of the home. So when we tend to our own hearth, the ripple effects that come out through our world are tremendous.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank you, Rhea, once again. We're definitely going to need to do a part two. And it's just been such an honor and privilege to interview you. Thanks again for all the beautiful work you do.
Thank you, Aisha. God bless you. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. All right, everyone, until next time. Hey, I am popping in to share with you ways that you can birth the optimal blueprint for your dream sanctuary. For the bold, pioneering property owners and land stewards who are ready to birth a temple, a community, a home that is in tune with the energetics of place, that is attracting abundance, vitality, healing, and freedom, then I have an amazing program that I think you will be very interested in. It is the Sacred Blueprint Design Quest. I have details below for how you can apply for a free discovery call to find out more. I am a spirit architect that helps you to awaken your soul's purpose and partner with the spirit of the land in order to design the most stunning blueprint for your property, whether it's a garden, whether it's a building, whether it's a house addition, whether it's a greater vision for a series of communities. This program is going to support you to design the blueprint with ease and flow. And it's going to open the way for smooth project planning. So application details are below to hop on a free discovery call with me. I also have a free guide that's going to give you a taste of my unique signature system, the Sacred Blueprint. That is the 7 steps to mapping the vision for your dream sanctuary. So feel free to sign up for that below. And for the high-achieving, spirit-conscious women architects and landscape architects and interior architects who are longing to bridge spirit with form and awaken their intuitive powers, unleash their intuitive powers, and tap their feminine magic to start to birth the temples of our new earth by leveraging their intuitive gifts. I've got an incredible program just opening this year. We begin June 2026. It is the Sacred Blueprint Certification Program for Women Architects. So if you hear the call to join this container, check out all the program details below and we'll send you, or rather the link below, and we'll send you the program details, which includes the application information. All right, bye. Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling, while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, Gule Gule.